Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Oof, well, we wanted Roma back, yeah? Yikes. Here we go again. It's like that meme, Andy. Here we go again. Let's get into the fun. Before we do, thank you to our two newest patrons over at Patreon, Renny Newton and Team Capasso. We appreciate both of your support and, of course, all of our other wonderful patrons. If you want your phone to explode from the group chat, or at least want an outlet for your frustration, for your anger, for your desire if you want a healthier outlet than throwing the remote at the television, patreon.com/RomaPress, at @RomaPress on YouTube, social media, all of that crap. Where do you want to begin? Good, bad, ugly. I suppose I'm glad they're doing this now as opposed to reeling me into some form of belief.
You said that last year. I think
yes.
You said that last year after we lost 2-1 against Hellas Verona on the second match day, of course.
Well, I made the mistake of looking prior to the beginning of the 2024-25 season of the relegation odds. And guess who of the four? Roma have already faced half of those. So two of the four with the highest relegation odds, Roma have 0 wins against them. So that is a great sign. I'm glad we are getting this out of the way now, I suppose. The good thing is, and I say good from the sense of, this isn't the kind of match where, Andy, you can get anything positive to build on. I mean, it was crap for 90 minutes. For 60 minutes, you had a team completely rudderless, aimless, directionless, whichever word you prefer to use. They were bystanders. They were passengers. They were in the audience for this match. An Empoli team that fully... If Shomurodov would have pulled off another one at the end, part of me, a very small part of me, would have felt a bit bad for Napoli because of they deserve this, yeah? I mean, we're not going to come on here and try to draw some sort of deluded positivity from this, yeah?
Yes. So am I going to be just nodding along? Yes, yeah, of course. I mean, in the sense that, you know, what can you say when you have these results? Especially against these opponents and what should have, could have been an easy start to the league season. Same thing happened last year. Remember, we faced Salernitana, we faced Hellas Verona before facing Milan on match day 3. And here we face Cagliari and we face Empoli right before going to the Juventus Stadium and playing against Juventus. So more or less, it is the same pattern, right? Two relegation sides, two relegation favorites, and then a top five team in the league, right? A team that, like you, aspires to Champions League football, and a team that looked much more prepared than we did in the recent outing against Como. Roma did not look prepared tonight. That's the thing. And, you know, I'm all for growing pains. For me, that's anything that is labeled a long-term project will involve long-term pains, growing pains. Sorry, a long-term project involves growing pains. A lot of fans are all for a long-term project, but very few are for the growing pains. Growing pains are a pain in the ass. They take time. You see players struggle. You see the team struggle to create. You see the team struggle to get results. The problem in these growing pains, or what should be considered growing pains, but in my opinion are not, it's the fact that a lot of these players that are right now failing to make an impact were here last season. So Roma right now don't have a midfield. There is practically zero filter there. There is a defense that is a bit all over the place. There is certainly miscommunication, which, again, is to be expected. But it's to be expected when you have a whole batch of new players. Right now, Roma are not deploying a whole batch of new players. You have in the lineup, you have Sule and you have Dovbik, and that's about it. So everybody else is on board. There are some, you know, some technical issues. For example, if you put Sule on the left, he becomes useless. You have to put him on the right because that's where he's most effective. Then it means you have to stop relying on Paulo Dybala on the right and bring him up behind the striker more towards the center, which means essentially getting rid of Pellegrini. There are some choices that will have to be made because right now this team is operating with the handbrake on. You know, it's there's just something. And the one thing that is worrying me, because again, I can accept growing pains. I'm all for them because I'm actually perhaps one of the few vocal supporters of what Roma are trying to do. Because a lot of people, yes, they are all for starting anew, starting fresh, starting from scratch, but they don't have the patience. And very often that will involve, yes, a loss here, a draw there. Sure. The problem is that we're doing it with a lot of players who should be doing better and who should be showing themselves. Yes. Right now, the ones you expect to contribute or the ones you expect to lead are not doing anything. Again, the midfield is not working. But who do you have in the midfield tonight? Brian Cristante, Leandro Paredes, Lorenzo Pellegrini. Okay, those are three guys who are the supposed leaders and backbone of this team. So why am I seeing what I'm seeing on match day two with those guys there? I can accept if you put me a midfield of Pizzilli, Enzo Lefebvre, and then on the left, maybe Samuel Dahl, I'll accept it. Yes. Because it's growing pains. It's normal. You know, you're trying things out. You're trying new guys. You're getting them all together. But the fact that I'm seeing Eldor Shomurodov score for me in 2024 and the midfield that was supposed to be the midfield of the more experienced players play the way it played tonight is very frustrating. It is very frustrating. It is very discouraging because it goes against this mindset of we want to start something new. Because on one hand, yes, and then on the other hand, you show up today and you play the way you do with the players that you have, something's not right.
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, that was one of the first things I pointed out in my post-match reaction for the patrons, that I can accept growing pains. I can accept the fact that there are going to be some very obvious bumps, injuries along the journey. I can accept that without issue. What I can't accept are having the exact same midfield, giving me that was 75 to 80 minutes of the midfield producing nothing, with zero cohesion, completely disjointed from the attack. Poor Dovbik, this guy, he... nothing. I mean, yeah.
He went from Girona, who basically built their whole scheme around supplying him with perfect looks, to a team that is right now unable to produce and much less give him anything to do. And it's unfortunate because that's a player that needs the ball, okay? That's a player that needs the ball for his confidence. Just, you know how difficult it is for a striker to settle into a new place and not find the back of the net in the first two games against two accessible opponents? That's not only frustrating, but again, very discouraging. Let's hope that gets resolved quickly. But that's exactly the symptom of a larger issue. An issue that there is just something fundamentally wrong that must be changed. You know, you can't... one thing must be said, you know, unless there was some physical issue, I can't explain, you know, why Enzo Lefebvre went back to the bench, you know, but that's one thing. And that's not even specifically with Enzo, but that sends the wrong message. That sends the wrong message in terms of you have a guy who's new. You have a guy
exactly
who's new.
Exactly what I said. Yes.
You give him a chance from the start in first game of the season. Great. That's a great signal. But what do you do next? You put him on the bench for what? To bring exactly Brian Cristante or whoever else or Leandro Paredes, doesn't matter. But if those three aren't effective, what the hell are you doing? You know,
which is so odd to me because remember he with Svilar and Rui Patricio, he gave each other. He reads the room. Fila performs, and he sticks with Fila. I could not explain the decision of Lafay.
Let's see what happens next, because I think after this international break, there'll have to be some. You know, it's always bizarre to have these first three games and then done. You know, 2 weeks off, whatever.
Yes,
that will be the time where you have to reconsider really fundamentally. Who are your starters and why are they your starters? Because you cannot go out there in a match against Empoli. This was supposed to be a celebration of Paulo Dybala staying, okay? This was supposed to be the night where everybody goes insane. Yes. This was supposed to be, everybody was going to do the Dybala mask. Everybody was going to go crazy. Everybody was going to have a good time. And you bring on, I mean, in De Rossi's mind, I think he brought on what he considers the heavy artillery, right? Brian Cristante, Leandro Paredes, Lorenzo Pellegrini, and then have Matias Soulé play with Paulo Dybala and Dovbyk. Like, to him, that should have been the top. The problem is that there is something fundamentally wrong with that lineup. If they're not giving you what they want, you know, for example, put Matias Soulé and Paulo Dybala out there just because the pressure is on and people demand it. You can put them, but put them in roles that suit them. So right now, Matias Soulé on the left, he can't play there. He's useless. So you might as well put Zaleski's idiot cousin, and he'll probably play better than Matias Soulé did tonight. But that's because you need to put guys in the positions to succeed. So you read the room with Miles VR. You have to also start reading the room with the others. And so that goes beyond Lefebvre or whoever. But there has to be some kind of like understanding of the hierarchy. Because if the hierarchy is, oh, Brian Cristante, Leandro Paredes, Lorenzo Pellegrini will play just because they're the older ones or whatever, then that it doesn't work. Because then you have to give me the results. You have to win this match. Tonight, you lose because you're getting overrun by Empoli. By freaking Empoli. By Roberto D'Aversa, who got suspended because he headbutted a player in his last match for Lecce before being sacked. So, what are we talking about here? Second match day, and this is what you give us? This is what you give to an Olimpico that was overflowing with fans? Over 67,000 people came to watch this crap.
It is alarming, and the thing that confused me the most is between Lafay and Soulé, they were your two best players last weekend against Cagliari in a match where I would venture to say they were your only two contributors against Cagliari. Everybody else did nothing. You had everyone else on the pitch just watching. Lafay, Soulé, they were the only ones contributing. For me as well, if we are going to... this word project, some people love it or not to love it. Some people can accept it. Others cannot. They despise even the word. I can get on board with it. I am okay with the word project, but I said this too in my post-match reaction. I can't do this. If we are going to do this word project, okay, fine. No more of the same thing then. No more of Lorenzo Pellegrini or Brian Cristante going out there and just doing this over and over and over again. I mean,
give
me Lafay every time.
But even you know, you say, okay, Tommaso Baldanzi can play Mezzala, then show me.
Yes,
give me him.
Yes,
you know, I want more of him. Why should I go back to believing that this team has it if you're going to suggest the same lineup, the same players, the same schemes with the same guys who have already shown to fail to meet the moment and to fulfill the assignment? Because if you're getting overrun by Empoli at the 45th minute with the guys that you consider the heavy artillery, the veterans, the troops, you know, whoever, then you might as well put on the kids, because then you at least there is an excuse for that display. Right now, this just shows ineptitude and lack of tactical awareness.
It is so alarming to me, too, how many holes there seem to be. I mean, just the fact even Shomurodov is playing in crucial periods. I don't even know how to put that into words, because this is a guy who has been, for all intents and purposes, had his luggage packed and ready to leave for 2 to 3 months. I mean, the second this last season ended with Cagliari, we knew they were not going to make his move permanent. We also knew he was not going to have a permanent home here. It was always going to be difficult because of the cost, but still, this him, Tammy Abraham, same thing. Luggage has been packed. Still here, last weekend, playing crucial minutes. And then we have fullbacks who, this team, this squad, there are a dozen fullbacks, and yet not one of them is capable of anything. I don't even know how to process this because I can't get a very fair assessment as to what this team is. Now, of course, as you have pointed out, it does have something to do with the transfer market coming at this very awkward, the end of the window, coming at this very stupid period in time when the season has already started. But I get very worried from the standpoint of, okay, we're trying a new way of playing. We are shifting completely out of the way of Jose Mourinho. Now we had an entire preseason. It would be one thing if they were like my barber and they were just misfiring and completely missing the mark with what the end goal was here with the hair, in my case, my hair, with them finding the back of the net. It is not as if this is, you know, yes, we had Pellegrini hit the post, Dovbyk, I think it was, coming close to the follow-up. We had a similar event last weekend where Pellegrini shoots it right at the goalkeeper. But if you look at the data, it is not as if they are producing a lot, which just on the face of it should be alarming when two of your three attackers were a significant. I mean, your entire summer revolved around these two. So tactically, I don't understand what De Rossi is trying to do, particularly when I also factor in the fact that Lafay, fantastic last weekend. You have Paredes back, who I don't know what that was to give away that penalty. Okay. But then we also have this thing where Lafay, why are we waiting so long to make changes when so clearly, I mean, Andy, that midfield, I could tell you midway through the first half, just something is wrong here. And to have guys who have been playing together for two full season or for more than a full season, who look like they are strangers out there. It would be one thing if they had an XG of 7 and they just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. Okay, fine. I can live with that. What I can't live with is this midfield that is on an island, and you have poor Dovbyk up there, completely isolated, with nothing being produced, with fullbacks who, if you look at the squad of Roma, there's 20 guys who could fill that role. We're putting in Shomuradov, who should be gone, Tammy Abraham, who should be gone, Zalewski. This has to be a psyop. This has to be a psyop being conducted by the CIA as to how far the mental capacity or what the limits are of the psyche of football fans or even those watching the match in media, professional, whoever it may be. It has to be, because the guys coming off the bench, these are guys who, if Roma had deals for them during the match, they would say, no, come off, you're coming off, go. They would go to that length. Why do I have to see Nikola Zalewski? Why do I have to see Tammy Abraham? I don't know what is happening. And it's only the second match day, the second round. And to have this level of sheer panic, because it doesn't look like they had a preseason. That's what scares me. You would have no idea. You would think that De Rossi was coming in midseason the way they are playing. That is the only good part in this. That is that 36 more match days left. That is the only good thing I'm trying to take from this, but I am concerned that it looks like as if we are still like we have the dartboard and we're kind of just picking things at random here. And I don't know if that is simply the fault of De Rossi, if that is Gisolfi, how much he has to play in that, but it concerns me that Yes, I am on board for the journey, but can it at least look like we are all rowing in the same direction? And if we are all rowing in the same direction, can we ensure that it's towards land and not the iceberg that's coming up to us? That's what bothers me, that there was a full preseason. Why do Paredes, Cristante, and Pellegrini look like three new players who have never once stepped foot on the pitch and played alongside each other? And beyond that, why are we relying on guys who we've agreed for months had no place here? So maybe everybody has fault in that. I'm just trying to make sense of, okay, we agree it's a project. We agree this is going to take some time. And we agree that there's going to be some bumps along the way. However, I would say the issues that we've seen thus far shouldn't have even been concerns in the first place. This is my long-winded way of saying I don't know what the hell is happening, but this should not be something that we are... Cagliari Empoli. Okay, if I had a gun to everybody's head and you had to predict how many points they have to two match days, I doubt many people would say one. So, again, the only silver lining for me is you still have 36 more rounds. And maybe you have seen other big teams. Atalanta, they lose today. You have Milan struggling.
Milan absolutely.
Paolo Fonseca playing all of the hits. I mean, right. Listen, that's the only thing.
Yeah, I take shelter in that. Okay, I take shelter in that. I seek refuge in that.
But in all seriousness,
no. Okay. Yeah. Let's be gloomy.
These problems, in my opinion, are not the. Listen. I would much rather live with seeing Roma lose 2-1 today, but having seen Lafay out there, Paredes, Cristante, seeing that trio, and them producing some things, but having perhaps some lapses tactically, positionally on the pitch. Hey, oh, I thought you were going there. I need to fill him. I can completely live with that. But what I can live with is watching Pellegrini, Cristante, Paredes just looking like strangers. I cannot live with that. So... But what do you do? Is that on De Rossi? Is that on Gisolfi for not trying to get some different dynamics within the squad? I don't know, but it bothers me.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how we can plug in Gisolfi's name in here. You know, you don't judge a sporting director's job second match day of the season with the window still open. A sporting director's job is judged once the season has come to an end, and that's where you can sum up the way the squad functioned as a whole across competitions. That is something that I've repeated time and time again on the patron group chat, and it's something that I keep getting insulted for, so it's fine. I'm gonna skip over that because it's I had to block my DMs on Twitter now. So now if you want to write something on Twitter, I can filter it. I can see who it is before responding. I'm not subjected to the the hate right away. It's a nice barrier. It's a nice shield to have. When you, I don't know, supposedly say these controversial things that I say, such as be patient or just try and reason before attacking somebody. But this, what's going on is for me the most concerning thing, because this is, mind you, this is not the first time that I'm seeing these things. Okay, how many times have I seen Roma start off the season slow? It's something that we said in the weeks prior to the start of the season. What did we say? We said we want Roma to get out there and start off hot, you know, right off the bat, because the points you lose at this time of the season are the points you come to regret in April and May. Right, John?
I can tell you definitively, if things don't work out this season, you tell me six or five more points that they would feel so stupid to have dropped. Yeah. We can say it now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, this is the thing that bothers me is the fact that we are doing the things that we have done in the past. And that is something that I cannot stand, because if we're starting fresh, we're starting fresh. Okay, I want to see something else. You know why I remember the Roma Genoa opening match for Paolo Fonseca? Because we ended it 3-3, and it was insane. It was crazy. I think even Florenzi scored in that match. So, and we're talking about late career Florenzi. So that's a whole thing on its own. But what thrilled me about that match, it was because it was different. It was different. There was clearly something. There was something in the air that was different. You could feel that the coach was trying things out. I want that. Okay. I don't care if you give me a 3-3. I don't care if you give me a loss, but I want to have a sense of not having seen this before. You know, they're trying this. Okay, huh? Okay, well, then, okay, next time, you know, or let's see how that develops. But if you show me the same things that I've seen a billion times over the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever, then I'm getting a bit tired, a bit annoyed by this boring display of predictable ineptitude. Okay, because this is, it's what it is. It's ineptitude. It's the fact that we are not able to come prepared. We are seemingly without any ideas, although I'm pretty sure that there are clearly ideas being pitched out there in training, in the drawing room, in the conference room where De Rossi meets with Ghisolfi and Sloku and they discuss what to do on the market. There's clearly something there. The players that they're targeting, they're not just brought out of thin air. I know that for a lot of people, including some of our patrons, it seems like the people that are sitting behind mobile screens are more qualified than the people that are actually there. But it's not like De Rossi and Ghisolfi are throwing darts at random names and saying, "Oh, this guy, he's got an exotic name. Let's sign him." there is an idea behind that. But then you have to do a proper job of implementing it here. And if you see Tommaso Baldanzi as a mezzala, put him on. Okay. I want to see Tommaso Baldanzi as a mezzala. Okay. If you know that Mattias Soulé will not play well on the left, but plays better on the right, then don't put him on the left just because the crowd is watching, the pressure is on, and Paulo Dybala has to play. Okay. Do whatever it is that you can do in order to put a young guy like Mattias Soulé in a position where he can perform well. Okay, if you have to put pressure on someone, put it on Dybala. He's the more experienced player. He'll handle the pressure, not Soulé. If Lefebvre gave you good minutes against Cagliari, what reason do you have to take him off now? You know,
right.
You don't want to. You've seen what happens to a guy like Houssem Aouar, a guy who needs, a guy who was replaced by Lefebvre. Lefebvre was Houssem Aouar's direct replacement. So you don't want to repeat that mistake. That's what I'm saying. You don't want to repeat those mistakes. We've seen Romelu Lukaku struggle to get any chance at a goal last season. There was a moment where Romelu Lukaku had to score just with one shot. Remember that series of yes. matches that where he scored against Sassuolo, against the Lecce? He scored always in the added minutes, and it was like one shot on goal. Why? Because the team failed to produce, the team failed to create for their starting striker. You can't make that mistake with Dovbyk. This is a new guy. He's coming in from the league. There is a huge price tag behind him. A lot of talk. You have to make life easier on him. So I want to see that. I want to see Dovbyk fail. I want to see Dovbyk get a chance at goal and perhaps fail, but at least fail in the sense that he gets that chance. I want that because then it means that the team is working, the team is doing what it's supposed to do, which is put him in a position to score. That's all. I want a team that is ready to fail, but not in a way that is so predictable, right? Like right now.
Let's end this on just a couple of things on De Rossi. I'm watching right now what he is saying on the zone. I won't say I am concerned. He was speaking tactically from the standpoint of, well, I don't think we're going to have a problem with Pellegrini, Soulé, Dybala, Dovbyk all on the pitch at one time. We just have to do well to avoid counterattacks. Is there anything he is doing that concerns you especially, whether it be team selection? I have to say, the thing with Lafay I found especially egregious tonight. It seems antithetical to what he did when he first arrived, again, with Filar. And what he himself has even preached about competition within the team, whoever is performing, who makes the most of their chances, they will be the ones to play. And to see Lafay back on the bench or on the bench tonight, I didn't like that from any standpoint. And even Baldanzi, he came off the bench against Cagliari, but I thought he did relatively well.
No, he did well. At least there was something interesting again, because those are things, a guy like Baldanzi, you don't know what to expect of him. You hardly saw him play. You know there is something there, right? So at least that. Because if we see Zeki Selic put in the same wrong cross, or Gianluca Mancini make the same defensive mistakes, or Leandro Paredes make the same mistake, we've seen that happen. At least give me something new.
So is that your only concern with him? Because I am starting to see these things too, where he is commenting on, they asked him about Zaleski being booed. And of course, he's not going to go out there and eviscerate the guy. But he ended his comments on Zaleski saying, this is a guy who has... I changed the channel because I can't be subjected to this anymore of the analysis of Muka Larelli giving his refereeing analysis on the situation of tonight's match. But he said something along the lines of, he has an engine, or he has characteristics that we need, or that we need to rely on, or something to that extent. And I'm trying not to have a stroke.
No. That makes sense. That's very diplomatic of him. I think that's typical. I mean, come on. De Rossi has probably seen Zaleski grow up as a fucking child. Sorry, because I know your children are watching.
Yes. I understand he's not going to eviscerate. I would never expect that. Right? But to say... I think there's a difference between not eviscerating the guy and saying he has something that we need to rely on. And on top of that, too, when he was also asked about the energy or the lack of energy, and he said, yes, in the first half, we were terrible. We weren't moving the ball well. And I come out to that. It's like, you said it at the very top of the episode. Man, how are you missing energy coming into tonight? It's the first match at home. You had Paulo Dybala completely... change the entire mood of the environment on Thursday.
How does that happen tonight? It's like when Fonseca with Milan, he said last night, he said after they got beat by Parma, he said we're not very good in the defensive phase. And you know, and every Milan fan is like, well, didn't you work on it for the past 2 months? What are we supposed to do with that comment? So that, you know, yeah, I mean, I can understand. It's always like that. It's you have to say something in these post-match press conferences. So at least you have to say something. The problem is that Roma have lacked energy. They have lacked intensity for a better part of last season, of a better part of this previous season, of a better part of the season before, and so on and so on. So what concerns me is Roma retreating the same steps and the same mistakes, because here we are, we drew our first game, we lost our second game against two relegation favorites. It's exactly what happened last season. More or less the same scorelines. What the hell? In the sense that, weren't we supposed to be somewhere else? Weren't we supposed to go on a more beautiful adventure than the pathetic display that we saw last season? Isn't that something that we want to get as far away as possible? And that we got a taste of in those first months of De Rossi's tenure. That's where we got a breath of fresh air, and it seemed like Roma not only were incorporating what the manager wanted from them, but also were, they seemed to be needing to detach themselves from that Roma that we saw in the first half of the season. It seemed like that Roma was so ashamed of having put us through those horrible first 6 months that they wanted to compensate by playing really fun football. Everybody remembers that awesome game against Monza. It was great. It came and it culminated this great run of results. Even when we lost to Inter, I remember we came out of that match. We were like, yeah, yes, we could have won it. I mean, there was a moment where we could have won it, you know. So, and we seem to have lost that. And I wonder why. And this is a, this was not, you know, you can't take one step forward and two step backwards when you're making what is supposed to be a revolution. So you're not supposed to be where you are right now. That's the thing. Do you have time to mend things? Yes. Is this the moment where everybody should lose their heads and go insane?
Of course not.
So I appreciate one of our patrons, AP, who mentioned the other day, he was like, everybody, I think, was crying. I think after the Dybala announcement or something, someone was crying for some reason. Someone was whining for some reason. And it was like, and AP was like, fucking State Farm, I have to pay for that shit, you know? And I was like, those are the fucking problems. Are you going to come here and whine about, you know, this guy, Asignon not coming to Roma or whatever, like, get a grip, you know? So yes, on the second match day, these are the problems that you want to have. Like last season, we could have turned it around. That time, yes, we didn't. We kept saying we could. Remember, we lose against Milan and we came there and we said, Milan ran lapses around us. But can we turn it around? Yes. During the international break, we should focus on getting our energy levels up. Did we do it? No. What I can say is I hope that we really embrace the change. I hope that with the transfer window closing in, what is it, John? We're recording this 25th, 31st, six days. We're going to get
I believe it is the 30th of August, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on.
Really?
Let me double check this. Let's see. Sumo transfer window closed. Let me confirm this.
Let's see.
So it closed. Yes. Yeah.
On the 30th?
It closes.
Nah, man.
Yes.
No, come on.
It does. It does. It does. So even better.
Because it's midnight. Ah, okay. That's why. Okay. 30th at midnight.
Which, I suppose from previous seasons, I don't necessarily know what 24 to 48 hours of extra does. Beyond give us 24 to 48 hours less of nonsensical transfer rumors, but... Well,
what I'm trying to say, John, is just that let's, you know, I just hope that after this is done, after this transfer, that we can really embrace what we preach. Because it's one thing to say things, and it's another thing to go out there on the pitch and, you know, expose us to the same sorry sight of the same players making the same mistakes. We don't want that. You know, nobody wants it. De Rossi doesn't want it. But I have to see that you identify that as a big problem, because Roma should have a warning sign inside the locker room that says, do not play like you did last season. Do not do it. Do not do it, because last season was awful. It was that last season was a team that never connected. Last season was a team that was fractured from the get-go. Last season was a team that was sloppy and slow. You don't want that. That's your primary goal this season, is to avoid that at all costs. What you're doing now, you're bringing in new players. You're bringing in strong players. You're bringing exciting prospects. Incorporate that. Make that the game. Don't just let those words hang in the air during a press conference. Implement that not only in training, put it out there on the pitch and be brave. Dare to fail. Because if this is a revolution, then there's growing pains and the people will have to understand it. But if as long as you show them the same old thing that they've been shown before, then you can't expect them to be patient.
Completely agree. Completely agree. I'm okay with the growing pains. I think most people are. Something new, though. New solutions. Utilize the new blood within the squad. That is all I ask. I don't need to see Pellegrini, Cristante over and over and over again. Give it to Lafay. Give it to Baldanzi. Just something different. I can live with that, as I think most can. We'll be back in a few days. Until then, ciao.